They take you up on the
river. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine being blind? Or can you imagine having three siblings in the same family who are blind? Tell me, have you ever wanted to tell the world about someone who is very special? Have you ever wanted to share them with the world? Would you like to hear about a man who was a 2012 inductee to the South Dakota Music Hall of Fame? When was the last time you heard about a blind musician doing a CD called Blind Faith? Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Rory's Story? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Now, are you ready to learn and become successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is an extraordinary lady. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice and share her story and her brother's. Before I introduce my guest, I'd love to invite you to call in during the show if you have any questions. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com, and I am honored to be a featured host, and we have over 600,000 fabulous listeners. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. She is an author and a homeschooling mom living in Rapid City, South Dakota. She's published in various magazines which tell about the adaptive techniques she's used to live. She and her three siblings were all born blind, but they don't let this stop them from living. Her interests include writing, playing the piano, reading, and teaching. In addition to the children, she has done daycare, taught piano, run a tutoring service, and homeschooled. The biography she has recently published tells the story of her brother, Rory Hoffman, the inspirational country music musician of the year 2012, inductee into the South Dakota Hall of Music Fame. He is a very successful multi-instrumentalist living in Nashville. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Connie Ellis. Hi, Connie. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I'm really honored to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you be here. Now, this is an amazing story that your family shares, the fact that three of you were born blind. Were your parents blind or either one of them blind?
Actually, there's four of us, and we all are blind. And no, my parents don't have any eye problems at all. In fact, no one else really in our family, extended family, does. So it was kind of a mystery.
Yeah.
And my twin sister and I are the oldest. Actually, we're 9 years older than our brother Rory and 13 years older than our brother Reed. So when we were first born, it was just really a shock to everybody when they found out we couldn't see. And my parents took us all around to different eye doctors and everything. And, of course, this was many years ago. I'm not going to give away my age, but
I don't either.
then, good idea. Anyway, I'm still young at heart, so that's the main thing.
Right.
But the doctors couldn't really find any answers. They kept giving contradictory. Of course, they wouldn't admit that they didn't really know, but they would say different things and contradicting each other and stuff. And of course, the technology back then isn't what it is now. But eventually, my parents just kind of decided that they weren't really gaining much by taking us all over and making us go through the rigors of having needles poked in us and lights shown in our eyes and all that kind of thing. So they just decided to just focus on the positives and the things that we could do, and they helped us to live up to our full potential. And, of course, they didn't know any other blind people or anything, so they didn't really know anything about how to raise blind children per se, but they just had a lot of common sense and just treated us like normal people. And just so we've really viewed our handicap as nothing more than a nuisance or an inconvenience.
Oh, that is an amazing story to share with our listeners. Did they teach you Braille, or did you go to a special school for blind children?
My parents never learned Braille, but when we were 7 years old, my twin sister and I did go to a school for the blind in South Dakota that was 200 miles away from the farm where my parents lived.
Wow.
So, of course, that was a hard adjustment to be away from them and everything, but they would come and get us every weekend. For 9 years they did that until we started going to public school right there in our own hometown. But in those 9 years they ended up traveling at 270,000 miles just to get us back and forth every week, because they just thought that was a really important part of are growing up, that they wanted to be the ones to raise us, and our whole story, not to mention my brother's story, and everything would have turned out a whole lot different if it hadn't been for that commitment on their part.
Oh, my God. And now this, so you went to a blind school that was basically a boarding school when you were 7 years old, and you were there for 9 years, right?
Yep, exactly. And then that's when we learned all our Braille and everything. And then after our brother came along, we had always wanted to be teachers when we grew up, so he was kind of our guinea pig. As soon as he was old enough to talk, basically, my sister and I would put him in quote-unquote play school, but it wasn't really play for us. We were actually teaching him things like teaching him Braille and teaching him just everything, his ABCs and his numbers and everything. So it turned out that when he was old enough to start school, he didn't have to go away to the residential school like my sister and I did. He just was able to start right out in the public school system. So that was definitely a blessing.
Now, what's the transition when you went to the public schools? Did they provide you with Braille books, or did you have to get those on your own, or how did that work out?
Yeah, the school hired a teacher, basically an aide, to basically order all that for us, and we would get the books either in Braille or on tape. And then, of course, when we started college, my sister and I, we were responsible for all that on our own, getting our own textbooks. And if the book wasn't available in recorded form or Braille, then we would have to obtain print copies of the book and send it to the Recording for the Blind library to have it recorded. So, yeah, and basically nowadays that everything's so digital, it's really easy because you can just download a lot of stuff and it works. Like, you can get Braille printers or whatever. So we're just really born at the right time to just, it's so much more accessible now than there was just a few years ago.
I know. This is just a wonderful story that you're sharing, a wonderful application of the modern technology. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host today, Connie, but when we come back, we're going to talk about your book, Rory's Story, and share with our listeners where they can get it. We'll be right back with Connie Ellis.
Okay, Okay,
well, I thought we were going to have a commercial, but we didn't. Here, let me see if we have another one coming up.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, this might be an interesting show without any commercials.
Well, I don't see commercials. I can talk for hours.
Yeah, lucky for you. Lucky for you. Well, if I break in a little later, you'll understand if I can get one of the commercials to go. What I wanted to talk about was your website, where your book can be. Give us our website and tell us where people can find your book.
Okay. The book is available at Amazon, of course, and other online places like that. It's called Rory's Story. R-O-R-Y is his name. And probably the easiest place to visit where you can get access to everything, including Rory's CDs. And you can connect to us on Facebook via this website and other things. And, of course, my book is available there. That would be roryhoffman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really talked much about Rory yet, but he has all his CDs are quite different from one another. He has one that's hymns that are done in a really modern and intriguing style, and then one is country, and a lot of it on there is original country music, and then his latest one, Swing Expeditions, is jazz. So there's just really something there for everybody, and then you can find out more about my book there, too.
Right. I want to tell my listeners that I went to the website, and it is fabulous. I highly recommend it. You need to go and check it out. What was the? How long did it take you to write the story? And tell us what prompted you to write a story about your brother.
Okay, I'll try to make that as short an answer as possible. But I always kind of I loved writing and reading and wanted to write a story about my own life because people would ask. We're just always curious about our family since there were four blind people. They just kind of wanted to know what that was like and everything and about some of the adaptive techniques that my parents used and stuff. And so I always kind of wanted to write a series of books like the Laura Ingalls books. And when I was 16, I actually tried my hand at doing that just about my own life. And, of course, I didn't really have any experience at the time with how to get published or anything like that. But I do still have that book in manuscript form, and hopefully I will do something with it at some point once this book has gotten a little more exposure, because I still would like to write a whole series.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, but when I was – so the book kind of got put on a back shelf for a while, and then when I was – after marriage or college and marriage and children and all that, and I homeschooled my kids for several years. I still am homeschooling my own kids, but I also homeschooled other people's children as well. So we had like up to six kids here, and that kept me really busy for several years.
Right.
And then at the time, Rory's career really started taking off, and then after that, I thought, well, maybe I should focus on writing about him instead, since he's more well-known and has a more exciting life and everything. So I started that a couple years ago, and that's basically how the book came to be.
When did the family discover that he had all this musical talent?
Pretty much right away. He just has always grown up in a musical family and had music all around him, so it was just pretty much a natural part of his growing up. And because we had a country gospel music ministry that went all over the Dakotas and surrounding states to churches and fairs and gymnasiums and stuff like that, and we played our music, and my sister and I played piano, my dad played guitar, and so it was just something we always did together as a family. And so, like I said, it was just kind of expected that Rory would be musical as well. So we didn't really even realize just what a special gift he had until much later. But he was drumming at age 4, and he was drumming on our first record album at age 5. And to us, it just seemed like, well, I mean, yeah, that is kind of special, but it's just obvious that he would learn this because my sister and I, like I said, had been teaching him his music foundations and everything. And from there, it just kind of grew and expanded until now he can play more than a dozen instruments, and he plays them all very professionally. He's like at the top of whatever instrument he chooses to learn. And he's probably most well known now for the guitar just because of the unique way he plays it. He really draws people's attention. He lays it on his lap and plays it left-handed. And the reason he does it that way is that when he was little and learning how to play, his hand was too little to reach around the neck of the guitar, so he just kind of did it the way that was easiest for him, because, of course, he couldn't see how anyone else was doing it, so he just kind of learned it himself. And now, actually, his peers there in Nashville agree that his technique is really superior in a lot of ways, because he can reach a lot more notes by laying it flat like that than they can, so they're all kind of envious.
Oh, my gosh. Now, so your family was actually recording, too, at this during your family. They had their own musical band, and they made records, too?
Yep, and in fact, we have a companion CD available that you can get on the website to go along with the book, because this first book in the series about my brother mainly focuses on his childhood and how he developed his musical talent and all that, and you can get the companion CD called The Early Years that features some of that music from when Rory was a kid playing in the family band and singing and learning his drums and all that, so that's available too.
Well, tell us a little bit about his current career in Nashville. He's a producer and a performer and plays over 12 instruments. He must have. Does he live in Nashville now, or does he still live in South Dakota?
Yep, he makes his home in Nashville now and is keeping very busy. A lot of his peers and stuff end up having to move away and stuff after a while because that town is just so saturated with talent. But
right.
He is pretty much rising to the top in his and the thing that is so great is since he plays so many different instruments and so many styles of music, just everything, like I said, from contemporary to jazz to country to all kinds of instruments, accordion, saxophone, banjo, and just last week he did his first harpsichord session there in the studio, and so he's just really in demand because he can do so many different things, and he isn't really performing on his own as an artist, but he backs up several different bands, and so he just keeps very busy going hither and yon, and so he just loves his life there in Music City, and he was featured in the Tennessean a few months ago, and the writer of the article, actually, that's the main newspaper there in Nashville, but he called Rory a musical deity, and Rory's going to be the cover story, the featured story in Just Jazz magazine, I think, next month, so this is just a really exciting time in his career, and if you follow our Facebook page, you can keep track of everything that's going on with him and everything with my book, and whenever Rory is featured in the press or on YouTube in his videos, you can watch clips of his music. So that's a neat thing.
Oh, wow. You've just given us so much wonderful information about such an amazing, amazing artist. I can tell that you and the entire family is so proud of him. You know, what I'm going to do, Connie, I'm going to try to go to the switchboard and do another commercial, so bear with me. And we'll hear a commercial and then get back to you. Wish me luck. I'm just getting a spinning on the switchboard today, so I just don't think we're going to be hearing any commercials. Anyway, I'd rather talk to you than do commercials. Now, how did you go about getting your book published?
That's kind of a long story, too, because I quickly found out that it's kind of impossible this day and age to a lot of the publishers that I had heard of before, they're not even accepting unsolicited manuscripts or anything. They only want to sell people that are experienced or that they know can sell books and everything. So after a long process, I did find a publisher, and it's been a really good experience. working with them. I was kind of disappointed in the marketing aspect because it turns out I'm pretty much marketing the book myself. But it's going really well considering I'm just really happy with how the book turned out and everything. There's a lot of pictures in it, which really helps to hold people's attention too, and the book appeals to all ages. And, of course, anyone that's interested in disabilities or blindness in particular, and just anyone interested in music. So it does kind of have a wide audience, which is a plus in its favor.
Sure. And so, I think it must be a lot of people would probably use your book as a motivational book and an inspirational book. I bet you have a lot of practical information in your book, too, about dealing with blindness, don't you?
Yeah, it's just kind of a natural part of the story. It's really entertaining for people, but I'm hoping they also learn a lot, too, about just the potential that is out there and that they'll, after reading the story, hopefully they once if they ever encounter a blind person or another handicapped person, that it will, they won't be as taken off guard as they would have if they hadn't read the story.
Right. You know, you mentioned there's advantages and disadvantages of blindness. Now, that's an interesting statement. What would be the advantages of being blind?
Well, I can read in the dark, for one thing.
Okay.
If the electricity goes off, I still know my way around the house just fine and can do everything, and everybody else is kind of floundering, so that's kind of a... But on the more serious side, I think probably one thing is that I, quote-unquote, see people for who they really are more, and I'm not as focused on visual aspects as someone who can see would be. And so that's kind of an interesting thing that I'm not – I don't have the typical – some of the stereotypes or whatever, and don't
You're
judge more, a book by its cover, so to speak.
Oh, right, and you'd be open-minded because, as you said, you can't judge a book by its cover. That would be a big advantage. And I bet another big advantage is that you are a very – I bet you're a good listener, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I love to listen to people, and because I'm actually pretty shy by nature, and so I don't like to talk nearly as much as I like to listen, and I probably do pick up on things that someone who is distracted easily or whatever by visual stimuli would be.
Well, you know, I just keep going back to thinking how amazing your parents were and all the driving they did and what a wonderful job they've done with raising four children who just happened to be blind, which would make it pretty challenging. Let's talk about what are some of the disadvantages of blindness.
I would say the biggest one, for me at least, is probably just people's misperceptions. Like a lot of times they will limit me a lot more than I really am or assume that I can't do something. And instead of thinking about ways to adapt or ways that I could do something, they just assume.
And so
that's probably the biggest one for me. Yeah, everything else I can pretty much deal with. I mean, I can't drive, but I can take public transportation wherever I want to go. And so that's not really a big thing. It is an inconvenience at times. Of course, you have to plan in advance and stuff like that. But, yeah, probably the biggest one for me is just I wish people would be a little more open-minded. And that is, like I alluded to before, one of the things that I hope people will get from reading the book.
Oh, yeah. Now, did you or any of your siblings, did any of you ever have a guide dog?
No, we hadn't, and probably one of the reasons for that is that our house would have been kind of small if there were four guide dogs around there.
You would have had a kennel.
Yeah, I guess now that we're all have gone our separate ways and everything, that would be more of an option, but we're just kind of used to things the way they've been at this point and just can get around using our cane a lot, and we really don't travel that far and wide by ourselves. I mean, I did a lot more when I was single, but now that I'm a stay-at-home mom, I don't really go that many places on my own, so I don't really see a big need for a dog.
Did this this blindness, did it pass to the next generation? Are your children blind?
No, and of course we didn't know beforehand whether they would be or not. but it really didn't matter that. I mean, of course, it would have mattered, and we would have been heartbroken or whatever, but also we just knew that life could go on, and you could live a normal and productive life as a blind person, so we are willing to take that risk. But, yeah, my sister has 2 children, and I do, and neither of them have any eye problems.
Oh, that is just perplexing how that would genetically happen for one generation and then pass the next generation. I'm sure that all the medical people are scratching their heads when they think about your family. Just share with us briefly Rory's CDs. Each one is quite unique from the rest. I noticed that one was called Blind Faith, and I thought, what a marvelous title for a blind musician. How productive that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and he is featured a lot playing many different instruments on those CDs, and the first one that you mentioned consists mainly of hymns, and then there's one entitled Fishin', and he sings on that one too, and there's a lot of original songs that he wrote with and co-authored with people, and then Swing Expedition is the one we're really trying to promote now because that's his newest one, and like I said, it's just so unique from the others, and he basically produced that himself too and engineered it and played most of the instruments on it all by himself and everything, and so you really get a good flavor for just how creative he is because none of the songs, or I should say he doesn't play any of the songs really in a typical way. He always has his own original flair for everything, so I really hope that people will, because you can listen to samples and stuff and demos on the website too, so I hope they'll take advantage of that.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Now, with all this technology we're talking about, I would assume that your book, is it an audio, and is it also published as an e-book?
Both. And and of course, then there's also the paperback edition, too. And that was a really big priority for me because I knew that a lot of blind people would probably want the audio book. And not to mention nowadays, Audible.com just really is a popular website for people to download books and listen to books in their car or while they're washing dishes or whatever the case might be.
Well, you know, Connie, I just want to thank you so very, very much for sharing your story with my listeners today. It is informative, and it is certainly inspirational. And could you just once more give the website information?
Sure. RoryHoffman.com. And from there, you can also visit the Facebook page. But if you just want to go directly to the Facebook page, that's fb.com/RoryStory, RoryStory. So I hope to get some new fans. And I really appreciate you having me on your show.
It's been wonderful, and we'll look forward to having you back again. To all my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. I'm sure you have, especially without any commercials. Be sure to catch all of our interviews with our amazing guests with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amuse, amaze, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information like you did today that will help you become successful too. If you've enjoyed our show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All your comments are welcome. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate quote of the day, and I don't even have that in front of me. Okay, we'll skip that too. So for now, dear friends, stop whining and start smiling. And start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Connie Ellis, and sharing the wonderful book she wrote called Rory's Story. This is January Jones thanking all of you today for joining me on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
Tinting the whole building, the whole complex, or just her building? Larry, the tinting, is it just her section?
That's what?
It's getting tinted. What is it? That's the three seasons. Pretty much. Yeah, proper. Drive down to see what the house at the end looks like.
Yeah.
get out of here. Big part and have a big part here.
Thank you.
we leave her out? Zoe? Did you let her out?
No.
I thought she was talking to her.
Thank you.
There, yeah, that's something to say. I can't talk to the athlete, but Thank you. And adding masking is that extra layer of safety along with vaccinations. I do think it's a small price to pay for keeping things open. So I do think we're going to see more masking. I don't think we're going to have a masking mandate this summer.
And the CDC advisory panel meeting today to discuss the need for coronavirus solutions. What do you think will come from that meeting?
This is really important. I mean, I think the thing I'd say is that I want to give you my personal experience. We don't have a lot of people in the hospital right now, but the sickest patients are really those immunocompromised patients that haven't responded I'm really talking about the CDC that I've seen recording right for allowing immunocompromised patients to get a booster. But, you know, there's still not a lot of evidence there, so it's hard to know what they're going to do. As far as the general population, the bottom line is that the vaccine is working and it's preventing hospitalization. So I think that's key.
All right, Dr. Chad, I'm really happy. Thank you.
Good to know.
And coming up, hundreds of thousands of people have been forced to leave their homes. It's one of the benefits of China's biggest city. When we come back, we have the latest on the ongoing vaccine effort. Also, there's a warning from the IRS about thieves trying to take advantage of people who seek to receive child tax credits. Stay with us.
Terrifying, Thank you. Okay.
like having this here, because you can just put your feet straight out on it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Neil Holmes, N-E-A-L.
100.
Yes, an apple.
An apple.
okay?
We're going to take your lead, sir. We're going to take her leash.
No.
Well, that was good the way you found the
left on Avenue B and C. In 400 feet, turn right on Stickney Point Road. Turn right on Stickney Point Road.
About 15 minutes early. Someone told me it was going to rain on Saturday, but we had rain last night. The porch was at this and then see what Jean comes up with, you know, because for the same price, if a place already has a pool built in, typically,
yeah.
But doing it on our own, we certainly get what we want.
I wonder if we want to be on this side of 75.
What's the difference?
With further away from Murray, I guess.
Well, how far are you talking?
5 miles.
Good afternoon. This is Elsa at the Wound Center at Darker's Hospital.
Yes.
Is this Mr. Leaf?
Yes,
this is Jonathan. Yes, Mr. Leaf. The nurse just told me to let you know that your appointment today is canceled. And because they need an approval for the implantable device. So they're just trying to let me call you so you don't have to come in, and they're canceling today, and they will call to reschedule when they have an answer.
What implantable device is this? I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not sure, sir. That's what the nurse told me. So they're waiting for the approval so you can get the regarding the implantable device. Once they get an approval, they will call and reschedule.
Okay.
But they don't want you to waste your time on coming today. So
okay.
They'll told me to call you, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Push the button.
0012.
In 3.7 miles, turn right on Ibis Street. Right on Ibis Street. turn right on Ibis Street. Turn left on Ibis Street. In 900 feet, make a U-turn on Saranoa Drive.
Sorry, that's the
turn on Serenoa Drive. Make a U-turn. Turn right on Ibis Street.
Hi. We're new this year. We are new. How much does it cost to play golf here? What's the price range on the homes in here, you know?
Yeah, that's about right.